Welcome to the TKO from Lights Out Productions. From the website of 1320wils.com, I'm Brad.
And I'm his brother Jason. With us, as always, is Honest Rob.
How's it going, party people?
All right, today on the TKO, we're going to start out with a UFC 129 review that happened on April 30th. We're going to get into some Ultimate Fighter Season 13 episodes. We've missed a few of those here. I think we got three episodes of that to get through. And then in Segment 2, we're going to talk about some MMA news, mostly just injuries. We want to get to there, a lot of fighters backing out of fights and whatnot. And then get to our Bellator reviews and previews there. So starting out, Brad, with UFC 129, obviously the big fight was GSP versus Jake Shields.
Yeah, I was a bit of a sleeper.
I was expecting, you know, fireworks and didn't quite get them. I'll be completely honest, though, Jake Shields actually looked better than I thought he was going to look. But still, all in all, I mean, pretty laughable that, you know, this is the big name that, you know, was going to challenge GSP for the belt. Did he win one round, really?
You must have thought he was going to be absolutely horrible if he looked better than you look, because I didn't think he looked good at all.
I did think he was going to be absolutely horrible. I thought GSP was going to knock him out, like, round two at the latest.
To GSP's credit, though, he did fight the last three rounds of the fight with one eye, so.
Yeah, which I definitely think is the reason why he didn't necessarily finish the fight. However, I am going to be a little bit of a negative person here and talk about...
Here comes negative Nancy.
I do. Negative Nancy coming out of Brad. I got to be honest, because we have this conversation a lot about, you know, who's the best pound-for-pound fighter. And you guys both think I'm crazy because I say Anderson Silva, but Anderson Silva finishes fights, GSP doesn't. And I still think that that is an argument that needs to be made when you're talking about the best pound-for-pound fighter.
He being GSP, definitely took a little bit of a step down off that platform for me after this fight. Don't get me wrong, I know that he was injured. It was pretty obvious he'd been poked or the way it was punched. I mean, there was definitely some damage to his eye. Mm-hmm. At that point, but he definitely took a little bit of a step down in that pound for pound category for me. Great fighter.
It would have taken a step down in my book if it hadn't been for the eye. If he had just come out and had that performance, I would definitely agree with you and say, okay, that's a step back. Mm. But because of the eye, I'm willing to forgive this injury. I mean, if Anderson Silva came out and had some sort of an injury, and you know, you could clearly tell in his performance, you wouldn't hold that against him and say, well, now he's not, you know, the pound for pound best. In my opinion, GSP is still the number one pound for pound guy. I mean, he fought with an injury, fought through three rounds, only being able to see out of one eye. Mm. I'm willing to look past that. It wasn't one of his best performances. I think we all know that. But
yeah. It was just, I honestly fell asleep during the fight. You know, it was just like, I don't know. I mean, this is like when there's a championship fight, I should be so amped up that I can't even close one eye, you know? And I was pretty amped up for this one.
GSP could only open one eye, so.
So, you know, it was disappointing for me. So, you know, like I said, he wasn't my number one anyway, though. You know, obviously still a great fighter and still probably going to retain his belt for a long time. I didn't like the way he was answering the questions about Anderson Silva after the fight, though. Didn't really seem like it's something he's really interested in doing. And the UFC has kind of been toting this for a while that, okay, if Anderson Silva gets through Okami and, you know, and GSP gets through Shields, which he did, then this was pretty much a done deal.
Well, they just keep adding fights to it, too. At first it was, once GSP, you know, if he handles Jake Shields, then we're going to do the Anderson Silva super fight. Mm-hmm. And now it's, if Anderson Silva beats Okami, then we'll have the super fight. Now it's, you know, GSP, he's probably got to fight Nick Diaz before we get the super fight. They just keep adding people into it. It's never going to happen.
And it's like, if they don't want to do it, then just don't hype it up then.
Yeah.
You know? I guess I'm just going to say to everybody out there, you heard it here, it's not going to happen.
I've been skeptical for a long time that it's going to happen at all. And GSP, he definitely didn't sound very interested in doing it after the fight, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think that maybe UFC, if they hadn't have bought out Strikeout, might have been more of an option, but I think now that there's better, well, not better, but there's good fighters,
there's more
in
fighters
GSP's
anyway,
weight class. I think that GSP kind of looks at it as like, why should I make that big move then when there's plenty of other, you know, proven fighters around this weight that I can, you know, the Nick Diaz's of the world, you know, even talk about him fighting, you know, Gilbert Melendez, you know, with weight difference. Yeah. They were talking about, you know, maybe Gil going up or GSP going down, you know, but they're talking about, you know, these great fighters that would be an easier weight gain or cut versus going all the way up to Anderson Silva's weight class for him that he doesn't really seem interested in. you know, and I don't know, maybe he'll just stay at the weight class he's at, you know, but
he seems pretty comfortable at 170.
Yeah, I mean,
whether he's cleared out the division or not, you know?
I don't know. And I think that him and Nick Diaz will be a good fight, but I still think Nick Diaz will get handled just like everyone else. So it's like, okay, once Nick Diaz is done with, what's next? You know?
They'll have someone else to throw in front of him at that point. You know, I don't think that Anderson Silva fight is ever going to really come about.
For it to really happen, and the way they should do it is Anderson Silva and him should fight at a catchweight.
I agree.
Like, that's the fair way.
Neither of the belts at stake, just fight it at a catchweight. I think that would be the best way to do it.
Completely agree.
Another person that was on that card might have took a step down in some people's eyes was Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
Got all he could handle and then some from Hominick, which surprised a lot of people, me being one of them.
Yeah. Jose Aldo did get the victory. It was a unanimous decision. Actually, one fight of the night honors as well. Mm. But I think a lot of people, expected Jose Aldo to just sort of walk through Mark Hominick. Mm. And you didn't see that type of a fight. I mean, it was really a five-round grind it out. And right at the end there, Mark Hominick, I think, took that last round.
He sort of pounded on him,
They were talking about might have even been a 10-8. I mean, with the way that Hominick was dominating that last round.
Jose looked pretty gassed by the end.
That's definitely something moving forward that he needs to definitely work on is his conditioning, because it was obvious. I mean, even I would say partway through the second round kind of looked like he lost a step, you know, and then it just kind of progressively got worse after that. And but I don't want to take anything away from Hominick either. Hominick came out and fought a great fight.
Oh yeah, he
has tons of heart and had looked like a tumor on the side of his head.
I mean, that thing was disgusting.
It really was. It literally looked like he should have had a better strategy, because it looked like he was thinking with two brains with the way that thing was there. I mean, wow.
That thing was nasty.
And fought through it.
Yeah.
And not only that, but after he got it, that's when he had the best round of the night for him, you know? So it was like, I mean, and looked really good, you know? And so Hominick, to me, I think he's going to hang around the top of that division for a while. I don't think he's ever going to get the belt. I didn't see anything other than that last round that made me say he can beat Jose Aldo, you know, but he definitely showed a lot of heart in his hands. You know, everyone knows that he's a technical striker. But I don't, like I said, I didn't see enough to be like, I think he's going to get the belt someday. He's older than Jose Aldo by a bit. I mean, Mark Hominick's been around in MMA for a long time.
Yeah.
So I think that was kind of his last, you know, run at the belt. But I still think he's going to be towards the top of the division when he gets back from that injury.
I think Hominick does have a title run left in him based on what I saw in that last round. Because now he's got a blueprint of how he can wear down and you know, take some rounds from Jose Aldo. So I think he came in and, you know, learned in a fight situation what he has to do to win those rounds.
Well, I think it comes down to how mature of a fighter Jose Aldo is, because if he's a mature, smart fighter, then he's going to go back and look and say, okay, what I did wrong was I didn't condition right.
Yeah.
That needs to be the focus for the next camp I go into. Or if he just says, I got the victory, so I'm not changing anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it just depends on how he approaches the next fight that he has. I think we'll tell, you know, if Hominick actually has a chance to beat him or not.
Yeah, it looked to me like Jose Aldo thought like we did when he came into the fight, that he was, you know, head and shoulders above everyone else in that division.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't need to condition to go into, you know, 4 and 5 rounds. And I mean, he looked kind of shocked, like, Hominick's giving me a fight. Like, what is this?
Right.
And then had to go into the later rounds and wasn't really prepared to do that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He lost that explosiveness once he gassed out. And so my thing is, if he can work on his conditioning and make it through a 5-round fight with the explosiveness that he had in the first 2 rounds, there's really no one that can stop him.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a matter of, is he going to put that extra time in the gym to be able to go 5 rounds, or is he going to think, I got the W, so I'm not going to change anything?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Jose Aldo progresses after this, or if he's just sort of plateaued.
There's certainly something to be said too for his resume that he's built at this point. I was just looking at his last 4 wins, including Hominick, were Mike Brown, Uriah Faber, Manny Gamburian, and now Hominick too. So I mean,
some pretty good fighters.
Yeah,
good list.
Yeah,
and none of them, I think, went the distance except for the Hominick fight. I think all of them. That's the only decision, I believe, out of his last 4 fights. So, like I said, it all to me is depending on how he's going to approach this fight. You know, I think he even said in the post-fight interview, you know, that he wasn't conditioned like he should be.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he can realize that that's the problem and work on that, then he's going to keep the belt for a very long time.
Because
he did look amazing in those first 2 rounds.
One fighter that we don't really have to worry about what's going on with him heading forward is going to be Randy Couture. He had a fight with Lyoto Machida on this fight or on this card also, and ended up getting knocked out.
Crane kick to the face.
Wow. It was Karate Kid style.
It was straight Karate Kid.
It was nuts. And Randy Couture after the fight did say, you know, this is the last time you're going to see him in the cage. We've heard it from him before, yeah. But I kind of believe it this time.
You don't
so.
Think he's Brett Favre in this situation?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, he seemed pretty certain. Even before the fight that this was going to be his last one. And you know what? I hate to say it, and I might take some crap for this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. He looked like he lost a step. He was finally starting
I would agree with that. A little bit older. Yeah. I would completely agree with that.
You know, and it was hard to see. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm glad that he's stepping away at the right time. He's not doing the Chuck Liddell where, you know, about four fights after you're going, okay, this just isn't, you know, the person I remember. Yeah. This isn't the fighter I remember anymore. So he's leaving on his own terms. He got the last kind of novelty fight he wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, didn't work out for him. He's not going to go, okay, I'm going to fight again until I win. You know, he decided this is his last one. And wow, Machida. Wow. I am not a big Machida fan.
I'm not either.
Yeah. Wow.
Just straight up Karate Kid style, almost like Anderson Silva. And I think they trained together,
they
too. And he said he learned that kick also from Steven Seagal. So.
You know what? Maybe I need to go train with Steven Seagal.
I think all MMA trainers need to train with Steven Seagal now. If he can teach you this, or you can front kick a guy and knock him out. He's taught two fighters now to do it.
And
so.
They both won doing it. Yeah. I mean, that's nuts. That is really nuts. A front kick to the face.
So do we think that Machida has a chance? I mean, it's been so crazy at light heavyweight.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to know what you guys think. Do we think Machida's coming back up and shooting for it again?
Well, it's like there's so much going on. I mean, that division is so stacked. I mean, we got Rampage and Hamill coming up, which is taking the headlines of the next UFC. Also have Rashad, who is taking a fight against Phil Davis. Both them are in the picture. Still got Bones Jones at the top. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. there's just names being thrown out everywhere. And then we still got Shogun in there, who just took a fight with Forrest Griffin. So it's like we have.
And I think both of those guys are in the title hunt too.
I mean, and it's like you have all these names, and the fact that Bones Jones got injured just throws a wrench in everything.
Yeah.
I don't really know where the title picture is looking right now. You know,
it's I think
there's
Lyoto,
like 12 people in the running.
I think Lyoto wants to make another title run, but he may have to wait a long time because of all these other contenders that we're talking about to get his shot, you know?
You know what, though? Even though I don't like Machida, what I think would be an amazing fight stylistically would be Bones Jones versus Machida. I just think that stylistically, that would be an awesome fight to see.
Be interesting to watch to see if Lyoto could avoid Bones Jones like he does everyone else.
And I don't think he can just with that reach that he has. Yeah. You have to get in Bones Jones' range, and as soon as that happens, and then really, what I'm interested to see Machida moving forward, because really he did have two losses. Gets the win against Randy Couture. What were those two losses? Was it just, you know, by chance that he lost them, or have people actually found out how to solve the puzzle of Lyoto Machida? That's what I want to see. And I think the next fight, regardless of who it's against, will kind of tell that tale, you know, because that was the big thing. That's how he got the championship, if you ask me. He was a puzzle that no one can solve, you know.
And now people may have figured him out a little bit. Yeah.
Randy Couture obviously thought he did, but he was wrong.
I think that Rampage barely beat him, too. I mean, we were there. We know what happened. Rampage barely beat him.
Rampage didn't even thought he'd win the fight.
Yeah,
I mean, he came right out and said
it. Honestly.
Yeah.
Also, quick news on Rampage is saying that now this next fight might be his last one to pursue an acting career, which we've heard this before.
All I have to say is thank God. Get out of my ring. I'm sick of Rampage.
I really am too. You know, and he was offered the title shot, you know, or was offered to fight Bones Jones, I believe. And, you know,
yeah, he turned it down
out of that. You know, it's just kind of like, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing?
The goal of any fighter is, particularly in the big leagues and particularly in UFC, is to win the belt. That's what you're there for. Mm-hmm. Why? Just leave.
He just doesn't care.
Can you picture an NFL team going, no, we don't want to go to the Super Bowl this year. We're good.
We just want to
right with the playoffs.
We just want to have like a 9-7 season and just, you know, just
we're set
go
there.
Play golf. Yeah, you know.
I mean, it's really odd. You know, and there've been talk about, you know, kind of he's not transitioning well to the new MMA. You know, he's kind of the pride. You know, all you got to do is go in and then be able to throw some punches. And, you know, if you know some jiu-jitsu, cool. But, yeah. You know, you can still win that way. They're kind of saying, you know, Wanderlei Silva is the same kind of way, you know, that old school style. And they're just not transitioning well to kind of the new style of MMA where you have to be good in, you know, three areas to really be a well-rounded fighter. So maybe it's time for Rampage to really just pack it up after this next fight.
I can hope. a few more fights on this card we want to talk about pretty quick here. The other two on the main card were Vladimir Matyushenko versus Jason Brills. Matyushenko came out and got a 20-second knockout just real quick.
He cleaned him out. Get it? Because he's the janitor.
I get it. Yeah. I see what you did there.
He should have the Ring of Keys. You know?
That'd be awesome. Walking down to ringside with a little key ring. The other fight on the main card was Ben Henderson versus Mark Bosek. Ben Henderson gets a unanimous decision victory there. Looked pretty good in the fight, I thought. He's going to get title talk here pretty soon there, I think, at lightweight. Another fight I want to talk about anyway was Nate Diaz versus Rory McDonald. I really expected Nate Diaz to come in and do his thing. He kind of got worked over. Rory McDonald got a unanimous decision pretty convincingly.
Yeah.
And then the other fight was Pablo Garza versus Eve Jebwin. The only reason I bring that up is because Pablo Garza got the submission of the night for his flying triangle, which was beautiful.
Nuts.
Beautiful
awesome.
Looking.
Awesome. One thing I did want to add in there real quick, Ben Henderson actually has been scheduled for another fight. He's going to be taking on Jim Miller.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So,
that'll be good.
I think definitely
that should be great.
Title implications there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Whoever wins that should get some serious title talk.
Yeah, with that stacked division, you know, would be that probably either get a title shot or be one fight away. So I just want to throw that in there real
quick. So that's going to wrap up our UFC 129 discussion. We're going to move on to some Ultimate Fighter episodes pretty quick here. Episode 5 happened. That was where Clay Harbison from Team Lesnar defeated Mick Bauman. I guess Bauman from Team Dos Santos.
Awesome.
Yeah, looked pretty good doing it, but did break his pinky finger blocking a kick, which you don't see a whole lot. But
not a whole lot. And that thing looked nasty.
Yeah, bone was
mangled.
Sticking out of his finger. It was bad looking.
And he can still come back and fight.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. He
amazing.
Got it looked at, and the finger was fine. Apparently, just dislocated instead of broken. I guess so.
Bone was sticking out.
Yeah, very weird. Also, that's it for episode 5. Move on to episode 6. Dos Santos comes in and kicks out one of his coaches, Lou Polly, who I think that needed to happen a long time ago, actually. Dos Santos is way too nice.
Taking himself a little too seriously.
The fight in that one, there was two fights in episode 6. One was Tony Ferguson from Team Lesnar versus Justin Edwards from Team Dos Santos. Edwards gets knocked out with an up kick, which you don't see a whole lot, but was awesome to see in a fight setting.
Yeah, and I thought Tony looked really good in that fight, actually.
To me, he didn't impress me because he was on his back, and I think he kind of got lucky with an up kick, but
that's skill, Jason.
You know, he got the knockout. He's moving on.
Steven Seagal get lucky with the kick to the face.
The second fight in episode 6 there was Zach Davis from Team Dos Santos versus Chuck O'Neill from Team Lesnar. Zach Davis gets the win by a triangle choke in the first round. Chuck O'Neill looked like he just sort of got caught. Didn't look like he would normally be caught in something like that. But
he said that he never gets caught in that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he did this time anyway. And they did announce the wild card fight in this episode. Also, it was going to be Javier Torres from Team Dos Santos versus Chuck O'Neill from Team Lesnar.
Surprising to me because I didn't think Javier looked good in his first fight.
I didn't think he did either. He lost to Chris Cope in that three round fight. In the last two rounds, looked like he sort of just gassed out after the first one and
square dancing waltz on the cage. Yeah. All they did was lock up. It was boring.
All the coaches did and Dana White did say that they wanted Justin Edwards to be in the wildcard fight, but he was suspended by the Gaming Commission for 30 days, you know, mandatory suspension because he did get knocked out via that upkick. So.
That's hard. That's rough.
That's tough that he couldn't be in that fight because I think he really did deserve it.
And then Len Bentley, a lot of people thought that he was going to get the wild card.
Yeah.
He thought he was going to get the wild card.
He certainly did,
Spent the entire episode whining about how he didn't.
Yep.
If I liked him at all before, which I really didn't, I definitely didn't like him after that.
Yeah, that was in episode 7. He came out just whining the whole time to Dana White, to Brock Lesnar, to everyone that would listen that he didn't get the fight. But, you know, he didn't earn it.
Yeah,
so
and he didn't really make a convincing, which Dana White said, not a convincing argument that, you know, none of the fighters really did that they really wanted that wild card spot so that was interesting to see.
In episode 7 also was the coaches challenge, which I thought was amusing because they put Junior Dos Santos and Brock Lesnar, who, if you don't know, did try out for the Minnesota Vikings at this point, and you know, so they put him in a football drills challenge, and then Brock Lesnar loses to Junior Dos
Santos.
Who's
never played football in his life.
It was quite amusing to see both of those guys try and kick a field goal. Was pretty funny. And then, of course, Dos Santos, being the nice guy that he is, shares his winnings with the entire Brock Lesnar team, except Brock Lesnar.
The guy's way too nice. Yeah. I want to hang out with Junior Dos Santos.
He seems like a pretty nice guy. And then for the fight in that episode, Chuck O'Neill comes out and beats Javier Torres in the wild card round, so he moves on. They announced the quarterfinal fight. It's going to be Ramsey from Team Dos Santos versus Clay Harbison from Team Lesnar.
Should be a great fight.
Yep, and then Shamar Bailey from Team Dos Santos versus Chris Cope from Team Lesnar.
You didn't set that up right. That's supposed to be the grudge match of the season.
Yeah, grudge
because
match.
They had one argument, and it's the grudge match now. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's the one they're hyping anyway, is the huge grudge match there because they had one argument. And then after that, it's going to be Zach Davis from Dos Santos versus Chuck O'Neill from Team Lesnar, and then Ryan McGillivray from Team Dos Santos versus Tony Ferguson from Team Lesnar. So they got all of those set up as Dos Santos versus Lesnar.
Right.
Should be pretty interesting to see.
Definitely
moves on from there.
See how this whole thing shakes out. Make sure you guys check in for segment two. We're going to be previewing and reviewing the Bellator fights, and we also got some MMA news with some injuries, a lot of those going on, so you definitely want to stay tuned for segment two.